I can rejoice I ain't a-going that way. Glad I'm going an upward way. Amen. It's come time for preaching tonight. I appreciate Brother Phil Jolly. He pastors the Dover Baptist Church here in our county. And we appreciate these folks that are part of camp meeting and these preachers. And I thank the Lord for their help and their preaching. They're good preachers around here. Brother Phil, you come on around. He's God's man for this hour. And I want you to hear him gladly. I've told them every time, you need to help a man when he preaches. Because one day you may be here and you want somebody to help you. Amen. Brother Phil, you come around and preach to us. They'll run the light for you. We love you, brother. Amen.
Amen. It's a joy to be in the under the tabernacle tonight, and I'm glad one of these are one day back yonder. I went from I wanted to go to heaven to I know I'm going to heaven. And it's not about anything that I have done, most certainly. But I'm grateful that the Bible says you know, and I'm glad I know. Wasn't about what I did, wasn't about being baptized, wasn't about joining the church. It's about the Holy Ghost one day come by where I was, let me know I was lost. And I did the only thing I knew to do, just surrender to the Lord. And he saved me, and I appreciate that, and I'm grateful for it. I want to encourage you tonight, if you have your Bibles, turn to the book of Romans tonight, chapter number 8. The book of Romans, chapter number 8. I'll do my best to share what the Lord stirred in my heart about, and then I will be careful about my allotted time, and looking forward to hearing Brother Joe here in just a few minutes. And but if you'll pray for me, I'll do my best to share what God's put on my heart, and I hope it'll be a help and encouragement to you. Romans chapter number 8, very familiar passage of Scripture that we'll read tonight. I want to begin in verse number 28. The Bible says in Romans chapter 28, verse 28, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called, and whom He called, them He also justified, and whom He justified, them He also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again. Who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or nakedness, or pearl, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." May the Lord add His blessings to the reading of His Word tonight. I realize in these verses of Scripture which I have read, they're very familiar to us. If you go back and see the first part of these this chapter that we have not read tonight, I realize that the Apostle Paul is speaking about many things here in these verses of Scripture. He talks about some things there about the suffering for Christ. I don't want to confuse that tonight. You get in the first part of these verses, he is talking about our serving the Lord and being persecuted with that. It's not about health issues and other things such as that. I realize that. As the Scriptures continue to move forward, I believe that the Apostle Paul begins to talk about other things concerning sufferings. He talks about the creation groaning and the suffering and the pain there of all of those things. And then he includes us as well talks about our bodies and those things which we'll deal with. And all of those things are covered in these verses of Scripture. But when we get to verse 28 of this chapter, I was looking at these verses of Scripture and something stuck out to me. There is one word that is mentioned four times in the verses in which I have read to you tonight. And that word is things. Things. And as you look at these verses of Scripture, I wondered why he mentioned things. So I see some of my instructors from Bible college, and one of those instructors always encouraged us to be careful about preaching about things. He always emphasized that we should focus in on what we need to be sharing and doing those things, and that stuck with me. I think about that often, and I tell them at the church, if I mention I'm going to preach certain things, it pops into my mind what he told me. Stay focused on what you need to, and stay focused on the Word of God. But in these verses of Scripture, we find that the Apostle Paul mentions things. And why does he do that? Again, he has been identifying certain things here before, but we get to verse 28 and following, he does not identify them. He simply identifies them as things. So I want to, for just a few moments tonight, as you pray for me, I want to preach on facing all these things. All these things. Because so often in Scripture, we find ourselves, whatever we're dealing with or whatever we're going through, we want to be able to turn to a specific verse of Scripture and have the Word of God just plainly tell us what we're to do. If we're seeking another job, we'd love to be able to turn to the book of 1 Timothy and it'd say, all right there, preacher, you're to take this particular job. If there's certain things that are happening in our family, we would love for the Word of God to identify that clearly. Now, I do believe that studying the Word and praying and seeking God's face, He speaks through His Word and He magnifies that to us. But I realize that from us, from a human perspective, I so often want God just to write it out and say, this is what I want you to do, or this is what you're facing, and this is how you're to handle what you're going through. I'd love for that to be. But I'm saying here tonight that I believe in these verses of Scripture. I am grateful that the Holy Ghost did not identify clearly what he was talking about here. And the reason I say that is this. If he identified those four words, things, in these verses, if something other in my life was going on besides those four things, I would say, well, that's good for what the Apostle Paul was talking about, but he's not talking about my situation. But now that he's mentioning all these things, he says all things, these things, all things, these things. He is leaving us open here, the Holy Ghost is, that we're going to understand that when he is dealing with us, he's dealing with us where we are and what we're facing. I want to mention four things very quickly tonight about these things that we face in life. I don't know what they may be tonight. They may be health things that you're dealing with tonight. They may be family issues that you're dealing with tonight. They may be relationship issues. I don't know what they are. And because the Holy Ghost didn't identify them, I'm not going to do that. But I believe the Holy Ghost will do that in your heart when you hear the preaching of the Word of God to help you in your heart and in your life. Four things very quickly. I want to say a word tonight about the process in dealing with all these things. Notice in verse 28, the Bible says, and we know all things, not our situation that is similar to us and only to us. He says all things, whatever the situation is in your life. He is telling us here that those things will be a work in progress. And I want to say a word about the process here. There is a process in dealing with all the issues that you and I face in life. There are things that you and I will not understand and we can't grasp it. We wonder what God is doing. Has God forgotten? Is God not doing something in my life? But I want to say, I believe according to the Word of God, God is always working. He never stops working. We may not see it and we may not be able to put our hands around it or get our arms around what He's doing. But I believe with all of my heart that the God of heaven is working in every situation. He said all things work together.
I grew up in a carpenter's home. My dad was a carpenter, and that's my trade for years. For years, I helped my dad build homes. That's what we did, custom-built homes and structures and those things. And one thing I learned, that when you built those things, you started at the bottom and you went up. Well, when you start a new home, you'd lay those blocks and you begin to put all those things together. And people would drive by and they'd say, well, hey, you've got the floor on. You boys has been a-working. Next week they'd come by and they'd see the walls up. And they'd say, my, you've been a-working. The next week we'd have the roof on. 3 or 4 weeks you'd have it under roof. And people would be driving by and they'd say, man, you're really doing work. And then I knew what would happen. We'd begin to go to the inside. And we'd begin to do the things that nobody saw. And we'd have to work on things that didn't happen. You'd say, why is that, preacher? Because this is what our goal was. When we got done with that home, we wanted the homeowner to be able to go in, turn on the spigot and have water. We wanted that homeowner to go in and turn a light switch on. And the electricity that they didn't see was flowing through the wires in the walls that we had put in that house. And we wanted that to work and to do what we needed to do. But when they would come by, nothing's changed. The house looked the same as it did 4 weeks ago. But I'm telling you this, we never stopped working. We were working behind the scenes. We were doing things that people did not recognize. We were putting things in the walls and the cubby holes where nobody knew anything about. And I'm telling you tonight, I believe with all of my heart, the heavenly carpenter, he was making and he is working in your life and in my life, in everything, in all things. He never stops working. He never grows tired. He never grows weary. He never has to lay down and take a nap. My God is always working and doing, because there's a process to what he's doing. You say, preacher, what is it? Just like we wanted a finished home, he wants a finished product in our lives. He wants us to be conformed. I don't know about you, but that word conform reminds me of working with my hands and constructing something. He's conforming in our lives and making us like his darling son. But I want to say a word tonight, not only about the process, but I want to say a word about the problem. Notice what the Bible says in verse 31. What shall we then say to these things? Now remember, he's been talking about all things, the good things that come into life, the bad things, the difficult things, the hard things that come into our life. He said all of that he's working and he's doing. But now the Bible said, Paul said here, he said, what are we to say to these things? I don't have the answers. There are things that come into my life, have been in the past. I'm looking in the faces of people that there's probably been issues come into your life and you didn't have a clue. You're wondering, what in the world is God doing? I've been faithful. I've been going to church. I've been paying my tithes. I'm a helping people. I'm a doing everything God wants me to do. And all of a sudden, here comes this storm into my life. And I don't understand what God is doing. And I don't have the answer. And I don't know. I've been praying. I've been asking God, God, what's going on? Is there a hidden sin in my life? Is there something wrong here? What's happening? And God has seemed to be silent. Paul said, what shall I say to these things? That I don't have the answers. Preachers, maybe you do a better job than I do, but there are folks in my church family that come and they say, preacher, am I dealing with this and am I dealing with that? I try my best to give them what the Word of God says, but they want an answer and I don't have an answer. You're probably more spiritual than I am, but I'll just tell them, I don't know, Brother Steve. I don't have an answer. Don't have an answer for what you're going through and what you're facing and what's happening there. There are times in life that we don't have the answer, and that's the problem that we have. If we can't figure it out, especially us men, I don't know about, I can't say it about women, but I know this about myself. If something's wrong, I want to fix it. I want to fix it. I don't rest till I can get it fixed. It bothers me. I worry about it. I try to handle it. I try to deal with it because I feel like I got to do something, because I don't have the answer. But I'm just saying here what the Apostle Paul is telling us, that there's going to be times in our life when we don't have the answer. I'm not talking about hidden sins. I'm not talking about living in sin and trying to cover it up and dealing with problems. I'm not talking about that tonight. I'm talking about a child of God, been saved by the grace of God, knowing they've confessed their sins, knowing they're right with the Word of God, and their difficulty seems to persist. The Bible is telling us here, Paul said, what can we say to these things? I don't have an answer for that. But notice what the Apostle Paul says. He says, if God be for us. You see what? See what Paul's saying here? Paul didn't come up with the answer. You know what Paul was doing? He was directing their attention from their problem, from their difficulty. You don't have the answers for the health problem. You don't have the answers for the family problem. You don't have the answers for the relationship problem. But he said, here's what I want you to do. He said, I want you to take your eyes off what you don't know. And I want you to put your eyes on what you do know. He said, if God be for us, listen, I don't have all the answers for all the problems in my heart and in my life, but I do know this. I know there's a God in heaven who loves me. I know there's a God in heaven who cares for me. I know there's a God in heaven who wants to do right by me. And he said, I'll never leave you. He said, I'll never forsake you. And here, hey, I'm just an honest preacher. I'm just an honest preacher. Sometimes I get my eyes off of what I know and put it on what I don't know. The Apostle Paul said, that's your problem. Get your eyes back on what you do know. I can't answer for everything, but I do know this. I can trust the God that I serve because he's never, ever, ever made a mistake. Never. I want to say a word tonight about the provisions that we see. Notice in verse 32, the third time we see about these things. He said, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? I want to say a word about the provisions that God has. When the difficulties of life come, when the hardships of life comes, when the sufferings of this life come, and we don't have the answers, and the problems are before us, and what is happening, the Apostle Paul was just reminding us that there are some provisions that God has and that God will give to you in the midst of where you are. My problem is I want it solved. I want it over and I want it done with. But that's not the plan of God always. Sometimes he may do that, but not always. And what he's telling us here is, Paul said, remember that the God of heaven got provisions for you in those times. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? Well, the Bible says here in verse 32, he spared not. He delivered him. That's his son. Let me just say this. When a problem comes for my child, my son, I do everything. I give him the best that I can do to help him to overcome that and to do what I can. I'm going to give him the best. And then I'm going to try to improve on that. I'm going to tell you, the God of heaven, he's one up on that. He's a lot better. He gave his only begotten son the most darling, precious gift that we could ever have. And the Bible said he spared not. He spared not for you and for me. He gave up the best that he had. He wanted you to know that he's given you the best from the start. And I just believe this. It may not be good theology, but I just believe this. He's not going to stop giving for your need. He never will. He is working. Remember back up there, he said he was conforming. He doesn't take breaks. He's still a working. And he's going to provide and he's going to give us things that we know. He knows our weaknesses. He knows our frailness. He knows where we can't handle those things. And he sends provisions. The psalm writer said this, for he knoweth my frame. He knoweth. He said, like as a father pitieth his children, so he pitieth them that fear him. If I do all I can do for my son in time of need, how much more will the God of heaven do for you and I who are his children that he loves? You say, well, preacher, does that mean he's, if I'm having whatever the issue is he going to just take care of it? Well, I want to tell you what I believe he'll do. The Bible says he spared not his son. He had only one son, and he gave the Lord Jesus Christ. But I want to tell you, you keep reading the Bible. The Bible says for all those who have been saved by the grace of God, he said they're now sons and daughters. And I'm going to tell you what I believe he does. He gave his son up to die. But I believe what he does is he gives Christians over to help you. Well, I know some of the most difficult times I've had in my life, and I'm looking into faces that have had more difficulties than I've ever thought about. But the one thing my Savior would do without fail, he'd bring somebody into my life. He'd bring somebody by. Had a word of encouragement. He might bring them to buy to give something that I needed at that time. Whatever it was, I'm just telling you that what God is doing is he's bringing those things by because he knows you need a word of help. He knows you need a word of strength. You may just need a shoulder to cry on. You might just need somebody to drop off a pie or a cake to you. I'm going to tell you, I believe those things are something that God sends by through his children to help. Those are provisions that we often overlook when God is wanting to help us. But I want you to notice, lastly, I want to say a word about his promise. About his promise. I want you to notice, lastly, he said, nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Now, I find that interesting because I want you to look in what verse 36 says. It says, as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. And I realize this is a quotation from the Psalms. He says, we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Now, again, you preachers that are more spiritual than I am and certainly know more than I do. But you would think, now I'm just saying this. I'm saying this from a human perspective. You would just think that if God was getting ready to say, in verse 37, that we're more than conquerors, you would think in verse before that, that preceded that, you'd think that God would begin to mention the things that we can do to overcome. You would think that God would encourage us in there, and in that previous verse, he'd tell you this is how you need to prepare, this is how you need to work, and how you need to get ready, because you're going to be more than a conqueror. In my human mind, that's what I would think. But that ain't what he did. No, Paul on the authority of the Holy Ghost, he said, we're like sheep heading for the slaughter. That's probably foreign to you and I around here, but most of you folks around here probably know about cattle and all those things. That means they're heading for the head gate and they're getting ready to be plugged. They're going to die. That's what they're getting ready to do. And that's what he told us right before he said we're going to be more than conquerors. Well, why would he say that? Because I'm telling you there's a promise here. He's not going to let us work out the situation and deal what we can do because we can't do anything. But what he's doing is preparing us. And he's telling us and reminding us and encouraging us that we're just like sheep. And this problem that's come into your life and this difficulty that's come into your life, I'm just going to go ahead and let you in on a little secret. It's bigger than you are. It's more powerful than you are. And you don't have the ability, nor do I have the ability to overcome. But what the Bible says is, we're not just going to be conquerors. He said we're going to be more than conquerors. You say, preacher, how in the world is that meaning that? Because what is being said there in that more than conquerors meant that sheep was relying on someone else to deliver it. That sheep was in that head gate going down through there and it didn't have nowhere to go. It had to go where the sheep in front of it went. If it didn't go, the sheep behind it had run it over. That mean it was going. It was going to the slaughter. But I want to tell you what happened. The sheep man, that he's called a shepherd. And that shepherd, he slipped over there and he opened the side gate. And he let that sheep slip out the side. And he let them others go right on down. But he said, I want this sheep for my own, because this sheep needs help. And this sheep's going to do what this sheep's going to do because I want him to. I'm just reminding us tonight, when we've got things in our life we can't handle, we got things in our life that seem to overwhelm us, I just want to remind you tonight, on the authority of God's Word through the Apostle Paul by the Holy Ghost, there's a process of work that God's doing in your life. And there's a process of time. I wished it's on mine, but it's not. It's on his. The problem I have is I can't understand it. And I can't see it. But he's just reminding me, son, I'm just conforming you. I'm just working some things out in your life. And son, you just rest in me, because I know what's best. I know what's best. And he said, but son, I know how difficult it is. And he said, I just want to remind you, I'm going to send somebody by. And they're going to encourage you along this journey. They're going to have something that nobody else will have but them alone. And he said, son, I just want you to remember, you're going to be more than conquerors, because you're going to overcome, not by your power, by your strength, or by your might. But you're going to overcome because of the shepherd. All these things, Paul said, for you they're troublesome and they're hard. But he said, for God they're not. They're not. Father, I thank you for your word. I appreciate your touch and your help tonight. But God, I pray, Lord, you just touch and do in every heart and every life what's needful. I appreciate the opportunity to share what you put on my heart. Lord, I pray it'll be a help and encouragement and a blessing, touching the remainder of this service. Oh, Lord, pray for Brother Joe. I pray for the remainder of the preachers this week and the next. Oh, God, use them to speak a word of help and encouragement. Most of all, I pray you'd save that and is lost. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Thank you, Brother Steve.